Welcome to the Success Lab Podcast, episode number 21. In this episode, I'm in the lab with Mignon Gold. She is the founder of thechicspy.com. We talk all about growing an online business and how Mignon is blazing a trail in the world of digital publishing. So let's go.
And like a feather, free fall forever, let whatever be whatever, together we all become heavenly. Like a feather, free fall.
Welcome to the Success Lab Podcast, where entrepreneurs collaborate to achieve greatness. And now your host, Beth Cochran.
I'm in the lab with Mignon Gold. She is the founder of thechicspy.com. And today we're going to be talking all about kind of how she built up a community around it and started driving a ton of traffic to her site. So thank you for joining us and welcome.
Hello. Thank you, Beth, for inviting me. I'm excited to be here with you.
I'm so excited to talk to you too.
Thank you.
So can you tell us a little bit about your journey and what led to the launch of the Chic Spy?
Well, first of all, I'd like to tell you that the chicspy.com is a style and entertainment online magazine. And basically the way I got started, I had a blog back in the early 1990s, and it was called Hollywood Digs. And actually make that the early 2000s. Sorry, I went back too far. And it was called Hollywood Digs. And basically what I would do is I would find things for people that they had seen in film or on television. So like if they saw a handbag and they just said, I had to have it, I would do a little research and see where that handbag came from. And it was fun. It was exciting. I even got featured in a local magazine during their television sweeps. But I decided I wanted to write something a little bit more, you know, in depth that had to do with style and fashion. So I decided to, you know, start a blog. And at that time, I didn't know exactly, okay, what did I want to call it? I just knew I wanted to start something. I wanted to do more writing rather than the service of finding things for people. So that's how it began. I started playing around with names, and I brainstormed a few names. And the first name I came up with wasn't the Chic Spy. It was something like Stylology 101. And I said, okay, I can go with this whole school theme. And I started blogging under that moniker. And I did that for like a few months and just wasn't feeling the name. And for me, I have to really have a vision of where I see whatever I'm doing, where I see it going. And I just didn't feel like I was really passionate about Stylology 101. So I did a little free thinking and started writing some things down and things that I love and things I like and what I'm passionate about. And then I started saying, oh, you know, I really love the spy culture. How can I incorporate this into a theme and a name for the blog? And then eventually the Chic Spy came to mind. And from there, I just started, you know, writing posts about things I'd find in a sartorial sleuth type of way, going out and finding things that I thought people would be interested in, writing about them, whether it be news on fashion, whether it be how-tos, do-it-yourselves. And so that's pretty much how I got started.
That's really cool. So have you always been interested in style and fashion? And
oh, gosh. Ever since, I always say to people, when other kids were, you know, reading Green Eggs and Ham, I was flipping through my grandmother's Bergdorf Goodman catalog, you know, clipping out things and making montages of looks that I liked. So I've always been intrigued by it, enjoyed it. To me, it was a form of art because you were able to create an aesthetic just by the way you match things and you put things together. But I really got really interested by reading countless magazines, just going through magazines and loving how fashion told a story. And so that's why I knew I wanted to, you know, I wasn't going to be a designer. So I knew I wanted to work with it somehow. And so that kind of led me more to the journalistic side of things in the industry.
That's amazing. I think we know from such a young age what our passions are.
Yes. And yes.
A lot of times we lose sight of them over the years, but that's amazing.
Very true. And sometimes we even grow out of them and it meld mm-hmm. into something else. So
yeah, that's very true. That's impressive. You were reading Bergdorf Goodman catalogs at that young of an age. I didn't even know what it was until maybe 6 years ago.
Actually, it was more like a paper doll type of situation for me. It was okay. The reading and more of, oh, like this, let me cut it out, and making pictures. So mm-hmm. that's what it more was for me at that age. So it just the aesthetics of it, the visuals, just, and even to today, I mean, I'm a marketer's dream. even to today, visuals just really are compelling to me. They catch my eye. And that's kind of how I work as well. I try to appeal to the visual sense and, you know, have some great content to go with it.
I think that's so key. So many. Well, I just think that, that's what captures our eye. Most people, a lot of people do like have text heavy things, but now, I mean, that's why Instagram and YouTube and things like that are so popular.
Yes, visuals. I mean, I think I find it hard to believe that anyone isn't first captivated by what they see, whether it's in a positive way or a negative way. Visual, when you see something visual, you instantly want to figure how it relates to you in some way, whether it's going to be something you want to embrace or something you want to repel. And so that's why I think it's so important, whatever you do, that the visual aspects or the branding or the visual branding around it is so on point with what you want to project and how you want your company to be perceived. So, because I do think that's how people first indulge in whatever you have to offer is how they see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And we had a podcast with Robin Brammen several episodes ago that talked all about branding. And it's so key. It's so important.
Yes, she's an amazing, amazing brander. And she's given me a lot of insight over the past year as well. So,
very cool. So how have you built up your following over the years? And I know that you've done, you know, not just online stuff, but even in-person events and things like that. And then you actually launched while you were in San Francisco, right?
Well, actually, the way it happened was I actually launched the Chic Spy in 2007, and I was working for a local newspaper, and I was writing and styling for a print publication that they had coming out on a weekly basis. And I kind of decided, hey, I really want to write more. You know, it's just each time I wanted to go up that more of a notch with fashion. I wanted to know behind the scenes, you know, why do they choose certain fabrics? You know, what inspires designers, you know, behind the scenes. So I decided, you know, against what everyone said, I decided to go and pursue a graduate degree in fashion journalism. There was only two places in the world that offered it. Central St. Martin's in London and the Academy of Art University in San Francisco. So I chose San Francisco, beautiful city to explore. Mm-hmm. And so basically I decided to go there. And what happened there is I almost, at first my blog was just a hobby, something fun, a way for me to share my passion with readers. And when I went there, I was reignited to make my blog more than just being a blog and turning it into more of a publication. So I actually use it for my thesis. And so pretty much it was a relaunch for me. So so that's basically how I got started with the Chic Spy evolving from a blog to a digital magazine.
Okay. Okay. And then how I kind of asked you three questions all in one a few minutes ago, but how have you built up the following around it?
Well, you know, the interesting part is I'm going to be completely honest. Growing traffic in the beginning was quite difficult because usually when you're working on a blog, you really are trying to give people a service, something that they feel that they can take away with. And when I was doing the site where I was helping people find things they had seen in film or in television, you know, that was a service. People, you know, it was a really a niche business at that time. People were, you know, they could come and I can help them and they could take away something. So it's hard sometimes when you're growing this type of, when you're trying to give people more, news focused things or, more, you know, how to's. So basically how I really got the kind of push in numbers, I actually had, a post that I did that was on how to pronounce fashion designers' names. And, it was kind of the phonetic spelling. Now that is actually an audio guide that people can go and listen, but it had been featured on teenvogue.com. And just literally overnight, my numbers tripled wow. after that was featured, and they've been going up ever since. And that kind of gave me an indicator what was strong on my site and what audience I was attracting.
Wow, that is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's very cool. And that's so, I hear a lot of, you know, in the content marketing world, one way to really help drive up your traffic is to mention in whatever sort of industry you want to target or certain keywords you want to target, put together a list or some sort of like ranking system, or like you did with the on how to pronounce the names, and mention some of those like heavy hitters in that particular industry. And then the goal is for them to share it or get picked up in a national.
Yes. Like one of the things I found, and I've learned this a roundabout way by getting featured by teenvogue.com, is that key influencers are essential. Mm-hmm. And if you can get mentioned by them, if you're interacting with them in somehow, and they can give you credibility as an expert in your field. So, and they also, they if they're a key influencer, you share the same target audience or a similar audience. And if they're sharing your content, then these people are able to see your site and come and look for other information besides what they were just shown.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And then I know that you've done events and things like that in the past. Yeah. Did that also help?
Yes, events are very important for the fact that they kind of give your brand visibility. You get more people, wide range, people spread the word. You're able to use social media to promote your event. And if it's an event that is going to get a large number of people to come, those people are going to share that information. But I actually have tips that I kind of guide myself by when it comes to attracting traffic to my site. One thing I would suggest is study your traffic. So that means, you know, finding some type of traffic monitoring tool, such as I use Google Analytics. And because if you understand the people who are visiting your site, you can create more content that appeals to them. So at the time when before I was featured on this site, I was not really thinking about who my reader was. I was just putting out content I was excited about. And when I started seeing a large number of traffic coming in on what they were actually visiting, what was getting a lot of hits, you know, what was being shared the most, that gave me an indicator of the people who were visiting my site and what type of content they were interested in. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to kind of study, analyze the traffic that you're getting. Another thing, which just kind of brings back to the key influences, is a guest blog on other sites. So, like one of the things I do is I guest blog on the Queen Latifah Show site and on their lifestyle section, anything having to do with fashion and beauty. So I would suggest the same thing to other people in their industries, whatever that may be, is to try to partner with other, businesses or online publications to be able to speak on a topic that's relevant to both what you do and to that site, because you're opening up what you do to their readers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I would say is use social media smartly. So many people think I just need to be on everything, and not every business needs every social media platform. I know Instagram is growing a lot, but realistically, it isn't for every business. It's a younger demographic that's going to the platform, and they're very attracted, obviously, to visuals. So if you're a business that's maybe geared towards an older demographic and your business isn't visual heavy, that might not be the best platform for you. So it's really important to pick a social media platform that's going to work for you, and then really put all your efforts into those. And it could be just two or three, or maybe even one that's the best one for you. Mm-hmm. And then another one for me is to establish yourself as an expert in whatever your field is, whether that's doing an ebook, whether that's doing some type of e-zine, whether that's, like I said, linking up with other key influencers, because that others can help lend credibility to your voice. And it also gets you out there in the realm as a go-to for this, whatever information or whatever your industry profession is.
Yes, yes. That is so, so key. The ebooks, even doing, you could do free webinars or things like that, or even paid webinars, but
yeah. Yes, yes, yes. And those are great, because any type of, like I said, visual media, any type of videos, it's, you know, it's such a growing form of media right now. and especially with YouTube and all the efforts they're putting into making it where it's easy for people to come share the content. So that is webinars would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going back to your use social media smartly, I love that because I think so many people feel like they have to be, or so many businesses feel like they have to be on every single platform and they're just spread entirely too thin. And a lot of them don't have the time to be posting to all of these. And so as a result, the content suffers and you're not creating sort of the, you're not tailoring, you don't have the time to tailor your content to every social media platform. And so you run the risk of not capturing your audience kind of across the board.
Yes, because I'm a firm believer in anything, quality over quantity is better. It's better to have a couple of social media sites that you do exceptionally well rather than many that you have to do everything. They're not updated frequently. The content isn't engaging, because what's going to happen is your core reader, your core client, your core customer, you're going to lose them because they're going to sense it. They're going to feel it. They're going to feel they're not getting what they originally came there for.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So true. And so I know that you've also created, a really great community around the Chic Spy. How have you done that?
Well, to be honest, that's been more so of, I think, personally for me, having the theme. I consider all the readers of the site to be chic agents. I encourage them to, communicate on the site, on my social media platforms. And some of them have been so passionate, they've reached out to even become contributors to the site. So it has a lot to do with really engaging the reader and making them feel like it's something not only that they indulge in, but they're a part of. I found that that's helped me. And I do other things. I do giveaways. That's a great way to engage people, get them excited, getting them to spread the word. People love to win something. Mm-hmm. And I try to give away things that, hey, I'd want to win this if I was competing. I'd want to win this bag, or I'd want to win this beauty item, or I'd want to win this, movie package. So I try to give away things that I know my readers would enjoy. And I try to make them as much a part of what I'm doing as I can, with them being readers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you do an amazing job with it. And you do have awesome giveaways.
Thank you.
So is there anything that you know now that you wish you knew when you first started?
Oh, gosh, there are several things. One I'd have to say is about, when it comes on the technology side of things, usability. When I first started the Chic Spy, all I really cared about was creating a site. I loved the way it looked, and I was getting my message out there. And it was more about me when I first started my site. And as I've evolved and as time has gone by and I've learned more and my numbers have grown, I've learned it. You know what? It's not about me. At the end of the day, it's about my reader. Mm-hmm. And if my site is user friendly. So basically, I mean, just to, just briefly to talk about when the site first came out, the way the layout was, I thought it was very easy to navigate because I work in it all the time. But mm-hmm. when I started having kind of doing surveys and then having people in the industry who are developers kind of play with it and see, they found a difficult time, and this is what they do for a living. So I figured, okay, if they're having a difficult time and they're developers, imagine what everyday people who just want to enjoy your content, because if it's going to take them forever to get to something, people are going to lose interest. And people don't like to click several times, maybe one or two clicks and that's it. If they have to search for something and it's complicated, you're going to lose people. And that's the last thing I wanted to do. So I had to do a full redesign. And I had to, when I did this redesign, I had to keep in mind what was best for the user. And of course, not lose my aesthetic, but figure out a way I can meld my aesthetic with what would work the best for the user and the reader. And one of those things was mobile. I was finding, because of the demographic that I have, which is about 18 to 34, they were really using mobile a lot heavier. And my site was not responsive and it wasn't mobile friendly. So I was losing readers that way. For those people who might have got a referred to the site, but once they got there on their mobile device, whether it be a phone or a tablet, they were finding it not easy to navigate, it not being easily visually to see and to read. So I took all that into consideration when I went through the redesign, which happened earlier this year.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. It's fun. I think we do that a lot, even in the way we speak or write. If we know an industry particularly well, we'll use acronyms or language that only people in that industry would understand or know, and you really kind of have to write for everyone.
Exactly. Because you don't, otherwise you might lose the reader if they don't feel like there's a connection, or if they feel like it's over their head. They might feel like, okay, this isn't for me. It's really best to be as conversational as you can possibly be.
And so did you plan every, I mean, you've really created such a very cool brand, and everything just fits so perfectly together, and everything ties into the whole chic spy and agent sort of thing. Did you have that all planned out from the beginning, or has it kind of unfolded over time?
I would say a little bit of both. When I first started out, I'm like this person who loves to plan out everything. And I would say that's a good and that's a bad. I did start out with a plan, but the key to it is flexibility. And I've learned to be flexible over time, where like the usability is a prime example. There were some things I had to change, whether I was ready for that change or not. So a plan is always good. It's like having a map. You want to have a direction that you're going in, but be willing, you might see something amazing on the sidelines that you might have to deviate somewhere. And so I've been cognizant of that, that, okay, this is the plan. This is where I want to go. I really want to go with this chic spy theme. You know, I want to be, you know, I like to compare it to, it's a combination of Audrey Hepburn and James Bond. So I knew that that was kind of the premise when I started out, and I tried to stay true to that aesthetic and that idea. But I knew that there was times that some things would have to deviate in order for me to make this work and make this engaging to the reader. So yes, I did start out with a plan, but it has, as you said, unfolded and evolved over time.
Okay. That's really cool that you had those two individuals in mind, Audrey Hepburn and 007.
Yes.
I know that, you know, we do that a lot for creating like buyer personas. You'll create a character around it more for identifying who your target audience is, but that's so smart to apply it kind of to your branding too.
Yes, because it's a great way. If you try to relate to something that is in mainstream culture, you know that those particular items or people already have an audience. So, and you can define, you can go and research, you can do research based on that character or that person, and you can come up with, okay, so this is the people who are drawn to this. How is this going to fit into what I'm doing? And so for me, that's where it kind of, I knew that, you know, I'm a great fan of Audrey Hepburn. I love spy films. And I knew I wanted to be in that realm of being, you know, very high fashion, stylish and chic, but I wanted to have a covert spin. So I knew right there, okay, I have the theme, and I had kind of a frame of reference when it came to a person and who the type of reader who would be drawn to that type of aesthetic. So that did help me tremendously.
I love that. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
That is so cool. I'm going to have to do that for Success Lab.
I love it. Thank you.
Very cool. So you've obviously figured out ways to monetize the site. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that and the ways that you've done that?
Sure. That is something, to be honest, that I'm continually coming up with ideas for. But some of the mainstream ways that people monetize digital magazines or blogs or online sites are from affiliate networks. I'm the member of a couple of affiliate networks. And basically what those are is they bring in writers, publishers with certain type of content, and they connect them with brands, and they connect them. You could do something one-on-one with the brand. You can partner to have an advertising layout. So that's kind of one of the revenue streams I'm working on now. But I have some other things in the work that I'm excited about. But that's going to have to be top secret for right now.
Oh, okay. Top secret. Well, maybe we'll get a spy update later.
Yes, I will.
So do you have any favorite apps or tools that you use either for productivity or time management or marketing?
You know, one of the main concerns that I have as the publisher of a digital magazine is how to maintain my editorial calendar. And that has been the bane of my existence for over a year now. Mm-hmm. And so I've been doing everything. I mean, I came across some people, introduced me to Asana, which is also kind of a task management online tool. It didn't fully work for all my needs, so I kind of did a little more searching, but it brought me back. I even found an app called Editorial Calendar, and I played around with that. And, you know, it kind of had what I needed, but I really needed something that bridged the gap between working on my computer and something in an emergency. I can just pick up my phone and be able to make any changes or edits. And I also have a team now of Chics by Agents. So I needed to be able to, you know, get them on a calendar and something they could see. So right now I'm in a process. This is an actual old thing that's already been there that we all already know about. And it's called Google Calendar. I have fallen in love with Google Calendar. And I'm right now getting ready to launch a new editorial calendar platform for myself and my contributors. And I know people are like, oh, it's always been there. What's the big deal? Oh, there's so much to be excited about. First of all, I have not found any limitation to how many calendars you can create. Mm-hmm. Also, what I love about it is there's apps where you can be able to connect your content with your Google Calendar and to be able to manage it on your phone, for me, iPhone. And what I love is I'm able to schedule out all my stories, and I have headings like fashionage, beauty arsenal, accessory heist. So I want to be able to categorize all these things and lay out what each of these would mean. And so it's easier also for my contributors so they can actually see this content and how they might be able to contribute a story, that type of thing. So that's what I'm currently working on. I'm really excited about it. It's sometimes you have to reach into the past and pull out something old and see how it can work for you today. And for me, that's Google Calendar. So I'm kind of excited about that, and I'm still playing around with it, but it looks like it's going to work for what I need.
That is so cool. And it's funny that you say that, because I manage several different editorial calendars as well, and I've gone through the same thing trying to find different apps and plugins for WordPress and things like that to help manage it.
Yes.
And recently returned back to Google Calendar, and I just haven't found anything better.
And it's great. And the thing is, and I guess you could say this is a company that's really set themselves up nicely. Since Google, Google Email, I'm using Gmail. I'm using Google Plus. I'm using YouTube. Mm-hmm. And since a lot of these are connected and they're all the same company, it helps with a lot of things when a lot of my content is going to be going on these spaces as well. So it really makes it easy. And also, as well as the people I'm working with, most of them are Gmail. So this also makes it easy to invite them to my calendar so they can see it and not have to be worried about my calendar going public or anything of that nature. So it's been so far it looks like it's going to be a good tool for what I'm working on.
Oh, good. That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
I started color coding, you know, different calendars based on, like what you said, with the themes, the blog themes. And so you kind of can see like what's coming up ahead, and it's all based on the color. So you start to associate those blog themes with the color and know what you have scheduled, and then even just being able to, append certain things in the calendar. It's just really nice.
It does facilitate things so nicely.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. So what's next for Chics by? Anything on the horizon?
Well, I've started doing, which you might be aware of, I've started doing photo shoots. I just had my first photo shoot that came out on Labor Day. I'm really excited about it. I really feel that there's such a great space right now for online magazines. And one of the things I want to do is kind of meld what people might find in a print magazine with what they might also see on a blog, and kind of meld the two. And I think we did a pretty good job, the team, of conveying that message in our first photo shoot. It was about little white dresses and they kind of, you know, getting away for the weekend, and they're coming together with some great accessories, that type of thing. So I'm trying to do a little bit more content that is going to, you know, give people more of a visual way to enjoy the digital magazine, and to see a little surroundings. We'll be with these photo shoots, we'll be picking different spaces, some, you know, in different cities and that kind of thing. So I'm excited about that. So that's one of my latest projects. And I have a few other things that are kind of covert right now that I'm working on, but hopefully I'll be able to reveal them soon.
Well, very cool. Yes, I loved the photo shoot that you did for Labor Day. It just looks so professional. Looks like what you would see in a national publication. It was really nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's important for the online publications to start. And there are several out there that are putting out really high quality content, but
yes,
stepping it up and putting out same, if not better quality content than the national print publications.
Yes, and I do think it's at the fingertips, and we're able to do it. And I also, one of the things I love to do is kind of bring the people who are behind the scenes to the front of the scene. So like, you'll see that I'm getting tips from the makeup artist, from, you know, the stylist, and kind of bringing them to the forefront and showing people how they're just as big a part of this as the clothing that are being featured. And as well are the models, giving them a voice and letting people show, you know, what their likes are, their interests. I did an interview with the models that we used, and so it all kind of came together nicely.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Yeah, that's kind of a different approach than what's currently being done out there.
Yes.
And one last question. When you do events such as fashion weeks or things like that, how do you help or how do you draw attention to the Chic Spy? Or do you have any leave behind pieces, or how do you maximize those in-person events and get people back to your site?
Well, one of the things I do, which is kind of a small effort, but it makes a big difference, is my particular, one of the giveaways that I give mostly, my handout, is my business card. Mm-hmm. And this is something that every business has in some form. My business card has my character on it, and it's kind of fun, and it's designed to mimic what you might see an agent give someone. And that was important for me because there are so many different events that I get invited to, and you can't always be, you know, it's not really cost effective to be making all these different print materials. So I decided I wanted a business card that will catch people's eye, that when it's in their wallet, in their clutch, wherever they decide to put it, it would be something every time they go in there, it'll be a little hard to take that card and throw it away. Mm-hmm. And I've even had people tell me that it's hard. You just want to keep this. People who aren't even in my demographic have said, can I just keep this card? For me, that's been one of the tools that I've used, and it's really been successful to me. I've had people reach out and say, hey, I've got this project going on. I saw your business card. It really caught my eye. Some other things I do is I really love, like, when I'm out at events, I love to reach out to businesses or other things that may not be, something that wouldn't seem normal for me to carry. Like, for instance, prime examples with this photo shoot, the fashions were from a couture bridal gown designer. And I don't write about weddings or of that nature. That's not really what I do on my site. But I want to show people how these dresses are not traditional wedding dresses, and they could be worn for other things. Because I think one of the main things most brides and bridesmaids have is that, you know, what do we do afterwards? It's, you know, it's not something we can, the bride can keep her gown, of course, but how exciting to be able to use it for something else and keep mm-hmm. it as a part of your active life. So I'm always trying to look for things that aren't predictable. And I always try to, when I go to these events, look for things that aren't expected of a style publication to look towards. And that includes, like, you know, a business might be there that might not be a business that would typically go into a style type of or entertainment type of magazine, and reach out and see how I can make it work and show people how they can factor this into their lives.
That's really smart. I like it.
Thank you.
So how can people connect with you?
Oh, how can they connect with me? Okay. Well, if you want to connect with me, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me at mignongoul.com. If you want to connect with the Chic Spy and you cannot get her identity out of me, that's top secret. If you want to connect with her, you can visit thechicspy.com. And you can shoot her an email at editor@thechicspy.com.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing all of your insights and your journey. It's been so helpful to hear all of that.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been so amazing to sit down and chat with you. You've had some great questions here for me.
Thank you so much to Mignon. She is just such an inspirational person and a really great friend. She's just an amazing, she's a go-getter, and she always has her marketing brain on. We recently did a TV segment together, neither of us on air, but she had some talent do it for her. But just watching her in action, it was amazing. She's in a league of her own. So this week we are kind of changing up the format a bit. Last month I attended Content Marketing World in Cleveland and got to interview some of the top content marketers there. And I asked them to either share a tip for entrepreneurs or a productivity hack. Their responses, in a word, brilliant. So I'm going to play the audio track from those interviews, but if you'd like to see what they look like, you can catch the video at successlabber.com. So I will flip it over to that interview, and I will catch up with you afterwards.
Hi, my name is Ian Cleary from Riser Social. One tip I would say to an entrepreneur is get writing. You need to produce good content. And the best way of doing that is through a blog. Every single article you write is a chance for Google to give you free traffic. So you decide, do you want to pay for traffic to Google AdWords or do Facebook ads, or do you want free traffic from Google? You write that blog content, it starts attracting traffic, that keeps on growing and growing, and over time you've got a really valuable resource for your website. So get out and blog as soon as possible. That's my tip for the day.
Hi folks, I'm Stefan Spencer, co-author of The Art of SEO, co-author of Social E-commerce, and author of Google Power Search. I'm here at Content Marketing World, and I just want to share a really cool tip for productivity and just time management. I'm a big proponent of GTD, stands for Getting Things Done. It's a best-selling book by David Allen. And what it is about GTD that really makes you more productive is you assign context to all your activities. You figure out what's your next action, what's your projects, and what are someday maybes, and so forth. And what I use is my trusted system. I'm a Mac user, and I have an iPhone. So I use a program called Things, which is by Cultured Code. And it's on the iPhone, iPad, and Mac, and it syncs between all three. And so I assign context to my next action so I can say, all right, show me all the stuff where I can work on, let's say, phone calls. So that's a context of phone versus errand or home or office. So if I'm sitting in the doctor's office waiting for an appointment, I don't have the ability to do an errand right then and there. I don't have the ability to do a whole bunch of other things. So if I can just see my next actions that are phone items, that cuts through a lot of the clutter. It's a lot more effective. So get a trusted system. It doesn't have to be Things. It could be OmniFocus. It could be a web-based app, or it could be a PC app. And then start applying context to each of your next actions and figure out, break it down so that anything that is multiple tasks or steps, that's a project, even if it seems like it's really small. So break it down into single next actions. All right, well, there you go. Hope that's helpful.
So my name's Amy Higgins. Productivity tip that I use is I block out sections on my calendar so that I can get my own work done without anybody booking time. I usually do it in the morning between 10 and noon, and then I can write to my heart's content. And of course, my favorite productivity tool is Concur. It's a company I work for, so warning self-promotion. but we do expense management, and during this entire trip at Content Marketing World, my expenses are automatically fed in, and then when I'm on the plane on the way home, I just hit a button and my expense report's done.
Hey, what's up? It's Chris here from chrisducker.com, and I got a quick productivity tip for you today. Please, for the love of Jesus, stop living in your inbox. Do not use your inbox as a to-do list. Get that stuff out of your inbox, onto your calendar, archive it so you can go back to it later, and stop wasting time sitting in your inbox pretending to be busy. And when you are clicking and opening your emails, you got a three-click rule. You either reply to it or forward it. You either archive it for later on, or you delete that bad boy and move on with your life. If you're spending any more than 45 minutes to an hour in your inbox every day, you are simply wasting time. That is it. Take care. Good luck.
I'm Kim Higdon, and a productivity tool that I'm really, really impressed with and really enjoy using right now is actually a tool called Divi HQ. It's almost, the core of it is a shared content calendar. So it allows you to collaborate with teams. It allows you to kind of organize all of your content based on campaigns or based on initiatives or audience. And with the newest launch of the application, you can actually publish straight from there. So in my opinion, the fewer tools that you have to use to accomplish the same goals, the better. And then the collaborative nature of it, there's varying admin access levels. So if we want a client to have access to this, we can. They can review and approve. And if we need even translators to be able to contribute content, if we're doing some global initiatives, it really helps with managing kind of that process of gathering together content from a variety of places and then distributing it out to where you need it to go. So it's definitely a tool that we make really heavy use of, and it's something that we've expanded across various clients when we started originally with just one client. But it's definitely powerful. It's really worth taking a look into.
Hi, I'm Heidi Cohn. I'm Chief Content Officer of Actionable Marketing Guide. You can find us at actionable.marketing, one of the new top-level domains. My biggest piece of advice for an entrepreneur is to start building your brand from the start. Most people think that you actually have to be a big company to talk about a brand, but one of the things you should do is be very consistent. Pick your colors, pick some fonts, make sure that you're consistent and follows through in everything you do. And that's what I would say. Keep on working at it. Don't give up.
I'm Lee Oden. I'm the CEO of Top Rank Online Marketing. And my productivity tip has to do with content creation. A lot of entrepreneurs wear many hats, one of which might be marketing, and writing blog posts can be very difficult. Trying to find an hour or two of uninterrupted time just isn't going to happen for a lot of folks. So what I like to do is use a tool called Evernote. Evernote is something you can install on laptop, tablet, desktop. It syncs across devices so that whenever you have a few spare moments, you can add your ideas to Evernote. I like to keep 5-10 different blog posts running at the same time. I'm adding to them a little bit by little bit. Ultimately, you end up being in a situation where you can publish an entire robust blog post that you contributed to just a few minutes at a time, and the content quality that you publish will go up through the roof, and it's awesome.
My name is Andy Crestedina from Orbit Media in Chicago. My advice for entrepreneurs is to watch fewer vampire TV shows. Get to bed like 45 minutes earlier. Wake up and write something awesome before you look at your email. It'll change your career.
See, amazing, right? As promised. So this week's action item is to choose one tip, tool, or hack suggested in these interviews and just give it a try. Of course, tailor it if need be to your specific situation, but just try one of them and let me know how it goes, either in the comments section at successlabber.com or shoot me an email, beth@successlabber.com. I'd really love to hear from you guys and if these worked for you. Okay, going to wrap it up with this great quote. Keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that. But the really great make you feel, too, that you can become great. And that's by Mark Twain. I love that one. So next week, we are in the lab with Eric Wagner. He's the founder of Mighty Wise Media, and he's also a regular contributor to Forbes and Entrepreneur, where he writes a lot about secrets of entrepreneurship. So this is just an amazing interview. It was so great to talk to him. So be sure to tune in for that one. And don't forget, for past biz hacks and action items, visit successlabber.com. And until next time, have a prosperous week.
Thanks for tuning into the Success Lab podcast. For more resources and collaboration, visit successlabber.com. And that's Lab with an R.
Unravel all that silly babble up in your head. Travel through another lens of perception. Cleanse the reflection till you uncover the clutter. You could never see that every being's another brother. You could never see through the illusion of being human. It's too confusing. See another point of view. It's natural to refuse it. But let's assume that this is a reaction to your habitat that's always there, because it's where you're at. Like a feather, free fall forever. Let whatever be whatever. Together we all become heavenly. Like a feather, free fall forever. Let whatever be whatever. Together we all become heavenly.